You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, it's your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM, WMDX. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show. Good morning. I am so happy to be with you guys today. It has been a heck of a week. I feel like it's been a heck of a month. I feel like every time there's a season change, there's changes everywhere in your personal life and in the macro, too, in the world. We are recovering from Hurricane Milton. I just want to send light and love and hold space for the families and the people impacted. I also want to show gratitude for it not being as bad as we had assumed it would be. Folks was afraid that it would touch down at a category 4 or 5, and it ended up touching down at a 3 and making its way across Florida at a category 1, which is good news. But, you know, hurricanes are never fun. But a category 3 versus a 5, I think, is good news. Today, you will have me all by myself. I know you guys love the banter between April Kageya and my other co-host, Cousin Clyde, but he's out today. He was playing Hollywood all week in LA with his fancy stars doing event planning. I think he was doing, what is the rapper's name? I'm so too old for this. Chief Keef. Do you know who that is, Luke?
Yeah, I'm aware.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know a whole lot about him, but okay. I know that he's a rapper. I maybe would know a song or two of his if you played them, but I don't think I could tell you.
Well, Cousin Clyde was out here being Mr. Hollywood and fancy this weekend. He was flown out by Chief Keef to provide like a event. He does event planning. He's also a CEO of a nonprofit organization focusing on the arts and dance. He's a pretty dope dude, which is why he's one of my co-hosts on the show, the Black Conversion Show. But yeah, he was flown out by Chief Keef and did his girlfriend's party and her birthday celebration. And according to Mr. Hollywood, we have more to come, and he'll be booked in some more Hollywood events. And I'm excited. Next time, I'm hoping I can sneak and go with him and just ride his roller coaster. You know what I mean? Because I mean, that's what good friends do anyway, Cousin Clyde. They bring their friends with them. You know what I'm saying? So I'm hoping I can get a little bit of that Hollywood energy. And speaking of hurricanes, one of the things that often is said about the path of hurricanes, Luke, I don't know if you heard this, is that the path of hurricanes follow the same path as slave ships. Have you heard that?
I have not heard that before.
Yeah, and it is true. So I had to look it up. Black folks speak about it all the time. And they say that it is Black women, the ancestral spirit, touching down and reminding people of the devastation and all the lives that have been lost in the sea, in the ocean. So I think that's pretty interesting. I think I want to do more research on that, because I did Google it. And, you know, Google is pretty limited. You know, Google show you what Google wants to show you. You know what I mean? You got to go to the Black web to get the real download information. And I'm not even sure how to get to the Black web. Are you, Luke? You know, people talk about this place where you can go and be untraceable. What is that?
You talking about the dark web?
Oh, the dark web. Okay.
I was like, I don't know if this is something like Black Twitter, where it's just like the Black web that I'm not, you know, plugged into. But
oh my goodness, I'm so used to being like Black, dark is Black. So it's just like, I don't know, my mind probably interchanged that. So the dark web. Okay.
The dark web. I don't know.
How do you get in it?
It's like one of those things where, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about it, but I got no clue.
Right,
but I don't have anything I need from the dark web. It's right. Like,
you ain't trying to launder money or drugs.
Right.
Or
I'm not trying to. I'm not looking to commit crimes or
you're not P. Diddy over his sex trafficking.
Yeah,
right.
It's like that's I use the internet for like ordering food or just like looking up, playing music, stuff like that.
I feel that.
Committing crimes.
Okay, I feel that. But I need to know more information about this hurricane path and the pathway of slave ships, because I think that's pretty interesting. And from a metaphysics and a spiritual place, it's like, okay, what does that really mean? And not that we ever wish bad on anyone. Hurricanes are devastating, super devastating for people. Lose their lives, you lose a lot. And you know what was occurring during probably most hurricanes, but the price jacking, like to get out of Florida this week was like a regular ticket that had cost you a couple hundred dollars to go down the street was like $1,500. And like gas went up, like doubled. I don't know the exact numbers, but it doubled. Food doubled. It was really bad. And I often wonder, I mean, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask the question anyway, because, you know, because I'm just going to do it. So I often wonder why there isn't like a cap. Like during a state of emergencies, when our federal government says this is a state of emergency, why there aren't rules and laws that govern not price jacking. And actually, there, I believe there should be some type of discount when there's an emergency, like people need to leave the city and evacuate, because who ends up staying? Folks who do not have the resources or privilege to pay $1,500 for a ticket. That's a paycheck. Some people only make that in the whole month. So that was pretty sad to hear. And for folks who are just tuning in, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, 93.93. Who was 93? Like, I have not talked about jams, and I don't even listen to them. So 92.7, don't turn on them, because I'm not on that station. 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson. So yeah, I just find this hurricane thing very interesting, and like the politics behind, you know, states of emergencies and things like that. In the news, and usually we start when I have my co-hosts who are missing, I usually start with the conversation of love. But I thought today, since I'm in here with my white translator, Luke, my producer, and by the way, listeners, folks that I rock with, white folks who I rock with, who understand my language and understand me, I always call them my white translator, because I feel like they get that. And I feel like Luke gets that. I don't think, Luke, are you offended when I say white translator?
No.
What do you think about when I say, Luke, my white translator?
I don't know, because I don't think I like think about it a whole lot. See, I a little bit of my backstory.
Yeah.
I have two cousins that are Black.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, race growing up was the line was a little bit more blurred, because they weren't ever my Black cousins.
They were just my cousins. Yeah.
And so, but also growing up, I saw how they were treated versus how I was treated.
Right.
And so I think there's like a very just not even, I don't think about it aspect where I react when I see people being treated differently for the reason of their skin color.
Yeah. Thing. So you don't and have so, a, it doesn't feel personal.
No, it doesn't feel personal, but it also, it upsets me when I can see how some people will talk to me versus how they talk to growing up my cousins.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I understand that there is that aspect of
that dynamic.
Of,
yeah.
For me, a little bit, I got a view into their world.
Mm.
And so I'm not offended by the white translator aspect. I get it. Because like I talk to them differently than they would talk to their Black friends.
Or right.
And so like I get that aspect. Mm-hmm. And I don't find it offensive at all.
Okay. I just want to point out something to our listeners, how this conversation just went, right? And I think this is what I try to articulate with folks in Madison, because again, Dane County, Madison, Wisconsin, we have the worst numbers as it relates to race and disparities in our communities. So the conversation, just short as it was with me and my white translator, producer Luke, it was one that was without energy or emotion attached to it. It was one without this personal, oh, she's talking about me. All white people aren't bad. Race doesn't exist. It was an acknowledgement of, hey, this thing exists and we can actually talk through it. And I could relate to it because of my experience and my exposure of having family that I witness navigating these systems and spaces and just people activities. And that's what I mean when I say we need to spend more time together, right?
Yeah.
Because you need relationships and just being in community outside of your normal community will automatically open your eyes, which is also why Urban Triage, the organization that I founded and currently the CEO of, often host a couple huge events, three a year. Two are free community events and one is our gala fundraiser. But our events are so diverse. And a lot of the folks who attend our events are often like, I've never experienced anything like this. And I've actually never had the opportunity to network and talk and experience different food or, you know, just people. And that is super, super, super duper important, because when we have the attempts through the system, you know, the man to kind of separate us by whether it's red, Black, blue, whatever, or, you know, wearing a mask, not wearing a mask, we have a a deeper understanding of each other. And when we can know each other from a place of humanity and humanness, then we're less likely to take the conversation personal, and we're more likely to be able to see and hold space for different views, which is important for conflict resolution and all the stuff that we're navigating in our system. So I digress, but thank you for that, Luke. I thought that was really good and powerful. So again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your favorite hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson. And I'm excited about the work of Urban Triage. Let me just throw us a little bone. Every Thursday, we have a couple more weeks, maybe a couple weeks left for harvesting from our farm, because it may get cold. You know, this October temperature is weird. Okay, because usually we're already done harvesting, but we got so much produce this week. We have collard greens, purple kale, we have apples, we have cilantro, we have beans, we got peppers, red peppers, all kind of sweet peppers. And we give our produce away for free. And all of our produce is organic from our farm. And on our farm, in our program, we teach folks how to farm, Black families and children. They bring out their children. And we also run a hemp program. We kind of ran that program side by side when we first begun, but then we separated. So our hemp program also teaches people how to farm and grow specialty crop, which is hemp, and then take it to production. So I want to acknowledge this past week, last week, we had a graduation of our second cohort of hemp participants in this class. They graduated, and it was all women, like Black women. And that's the first time, we've only done it twice, but it's the first time, and to me, it's revolutionary. And these Black women have decided to partner and to develop a Black woman hemp co-op business model, because that's the reason we do the work, is to teach people about the specialty crop, how to enter the agriculture venture as an entrepreneur, how to make money, how to take it to processing. And at the graduation, they had a couple investors, which was exciting. And then after they finished their pitches, they each received a $2,500, or they will. I don't know if the check cut, but they will receive $2,500 seed grant. So shout out to the folks who support our agriculture, which is USDA and WEDC. We appreciate the support of our work and our entrepreneurs. And I'm super excited for the Black women who are graduating from our program. It was just such a, inspiration to see what magic happens when we come together and learn new skills. And this is what Urban Triage is about, is transformative education as well as direct services. So big up to Urban Triage staff. Big up to Ruthanna, who's our program manager, and Connor, our other white translator who works on our agriculture. I absolutely love him. And just shout out to our staff. Y'all are rocking and rolling. Again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX. Please stay tuned, because I have some tea for you, because I ain't even told you everything. Be back in a jiff. All right, I am back, your favorite hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, on the Black Conversion Show. You're tuned in to 92.7 FM WMDX. And prior to the break, we were just talking about all kind of stuff, from the hurricane to the pathway of the hurricane, agriculture program ran by Urban Triage. So support our agriculture program. Follow us at urbantriage.org, spelt just like it sounds, urban, and then triage, TRIAGE.org. Support the work, support what we do, because what we do is pretty dope. But one thing I want to bring up too is what's in the news. Did you hear, Luke, about Haiti is peed off at Dominican Republic's plan to deport 10,000 migrants weekly. Have you heard about that?
I have not heard about that
this week. Oh my God. Yeah, the United Nations has asked countries to halt the deportations of Haitians. And the crazy part of all of this, as we're speaking about hurricanes and the pathways of slave ships, is people often differentiate themselves from each other. So if y'all are not familiar, Haiti and Dominican Republic is right next to each other, right? Like they're right
they're like the same island.
They're
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, like, and the only difference between the sides is colonization, like white folks. So white folks came to one side and they end up being a little bit whiter than the Haitians, but they really are of the same people because they whitewashed them. You rape them, you have sex with them, and then they become a lighter skin. And then proximity to whiteness created this divide that has Dominican Republicans. What do you call Dominicans? Dominicans. That's what I think you would, that's yeah, the appropriate Dominican, yeah. Dominicans. And they have their, it's created this this divide that has them looking at the Haitians, who are darker, in a way that as if they're less than. So I often talk about how white supremacy shows up through the world. This is a global system, and you can find it in every part of the world. I'm talking about in Japan. It doesn't matter if you Vietnamese, Japanese, Korean, Arabic, Egyptian, the darker people are often seen as lesser because of their skin tone. And this is all from colonialization, white folks coming in and saying, hey, actually, the closer you are to us, the better you are. And whether we like it or not, we all embody these thoughts and ideas of colorism. And I actually did write a blog about how this dynamic is affects Black leadership and me personally, how it's been affecting me doing the work in Dane County and trying to navigate systems and things like that. So check the blog out. It's on Madison 365. Read it, like it, share it. Provide your opinion. I'm not sure if you can comment on their articles or not, but take a look. I provide context and definitions and all those things to understanding just misogyny, patriarchy, and this dynamic. Like, who deports 10,000 people a week when folks are in crisis, when you have the resources? It is sick, and you're on the same piece of land, and the only thing that divides you is the color of your skin. Like, it's something to think about. So anyway, I thought that was something that was very interesting in the Black news. Also on the Black news, I'm not sure if you guys heard, but Chrissy Houston, Whitney Houston's mother dies at the age of 91. So sending love and light to Whitney Houston's family. So what a mess. Also, a group PAC launches a $4 million effort to mobilize Black men voters for Kamala Harris. I said Kamala. It's Kamala. Okay, so let me correct myself. And big ups to the listener who was listening to me one day, and it was a white lady. She sent me an email like, girl, you need to pronounce her name right. So, and I was like, girl, you are so right. So every time I say it, I remember the comma, and I'm like, okay, I just mispronounced that. And I also do it a lot with names, all the time. I do it with words. Actually, I can't pronounce a lot of things, so...
I'm terrible with names. Yeah. It's one of those things. It's just like, and that's the worst part is like there are some people that intentionally mispronounce it. And so I think that there's folks that are hyper vigilant and being like, no, you have to say it right. And it's not every time is there a mispronunciation. Is somebody doing it intentionally to try to do that? And so I think it's also important when you hear it, just be like, hey, I don't know if you know this or not.
That is so true. It's the context, because sometimes it's, I always tell my kids and people too, it's not what you say, it's how you say it and why you say it, right? Because I don't know, I could be talking to somebody and I could call them like, I don't know, a name. I can't really say it. I would just say the B word, right? In a professional setting, I definitely could not use that word. But like, if I'm happy with my friends, I'm like, girl, let me tell you, B. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say it, Luke. And then we'll get all excited. We're like, girl, yes. But if someone else comes and says it, it depends on the tone and the context, you know? So it's very important that we consider that. And also culturally, because some ways that we communicate in culture is offensive to other folks who are sitting outside of our culture or taken as offense. And I know that happens a lot as we try to navigate what's politically correct and what's, I don't know the right word, because it's another word besides politically correct when you're trying to be conscious of how, you know, examples like pronouns, right? Making sure you ask people pronouns, you acknowledge their pronouns, things like that. Whereas in some cultures, I would say in Black cultures, folks that I've run into, they're less, I'm not going to say they're not as sensitive. I'm not going to say that. I'm just saying that when we're in communication, it's just handled differently when you you misgender someone. I actually think when you're Black, I've seen it handled more gently than when it's coming from folks who are outside of Black culture. It seems to be so much more goodness, what is the word when you make a mistake and someone makes it like you're a devil, you're a demon for making that mistake versus, oh, you made this mistake, let me point it out to you. Is there a word that captures that like dynamic? There's something.
I can't think of it either,
me
though.
Either. I don't have a word.
I dislike virtue signaling,
yeah.
Where it's like, oh, well, I know better, so I'm going to correct everybody.
Virtue signaling, stuff like that.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
But it's there is definitely a dynamic when there's just some people that aren't aware.
Yeah,
and so if
exactly.
you don't have that awareness, yep. just like bringing people up to speed mm-hmm. or just letting them know.
Yep.
And you can't get mad at people yeah. for not knowing as well, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of it. So it's like... Yep. To a certain extent, once you've corrected somebody three, four times.
Right, now yeah, it's offensive because now
all
you're
of a sudden
yeah.
it's, okay, you're not taking the time mm-hmm. to recognize what I've told you three
right.
or four times.
Yep.
But to a certain degree, the first instance, I think mm-hmm. it's important not to go guns blazing and anything like that because yep. you somebody might just not know.
Yeah, and we end up doing the thing we say that we're trying, we don't want other people to do. We don't want people to dehumanize us. We don't want people to not respect and acknowledge and see us. So when you go guns blazing and go to the left, you don't see them. You don't see their humanity. And I often say, like when I'm teaching, because I also teach classes and consulting services on race. I think we like to call it DEI training. I hate DEI. I hate the word diversity and inclusion. It's kind of silly to me, but we're not going to go there right now. But I often say when I'm in spaces with white people, when things happen, I just gently say, hey, that can be perceived as this thing and blah, blah, blah. And it's always over and done with versus you are a racist and you're going to die. That's not how this should work because we are all human trying to figure out things and we're all human trying to reprogram our neurons. And I think when we understand the mechanisms of our mind, which is the basis of all urban triage's work, is understanding how our mind functions, we can show up differently for each other. So you're listening again to the Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM WMDX. We'll be back in the GIF. Talking more about Black news. I also want to give you an update of how my week's been. So stay tuned. Hey, Facebooker.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, you are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, your hostess with the mostest, your favorite Black woman, Brandi Grayson. Thank you for staying tuned. We're just discussing what's in the news, the Black news, but I think I want to transition a little bit from in the Black news to what's up with this Black girl. So I've been having a good week and a mixed week of feelings and emotions. As you know, as you may know or not know, if you follow me, if you're listening to me and all that good, juicy stuff, Urban Triage runs multiple programs, and we have decided not to further our partnership with our youth program for transitional and rapid rehousing, and that brings some sadness to my heart. And the reasons we decided, you know, I don't want to get into it because I don't want to do what I used to do, which is be passive aggressive. I'm working on myself. Usually I fire shots. Shots fired. Beep, beep, beep. I still fire shots, though, y'all. I'll fire some shots in a minute. But with this situation, I just want to say that it saddens our heart because the youth that we serve, predominantly Black folks, as you guys know, that contract will go up for RFP because we've decided not to renew the contract. And there's not any real housing Black service providers. I mean, there's folks who do some supports, but no one does what Urban Triage does on our capacity, at our capacity, at our level. And we've... I believe in integrity. I believe in accountability. And there's been some balls dropped on Urban Triage side as it relates... And not Urban Triage, me. Let me point it on my side. As it relates to... dealing with the conflict. Sometimes there's conflict, as you know, when you're doing collaborations. And over the last year, I just avoided it. And I think I kind of gave light to some of the dynamics in my blog. Of course, I didn't name things. I didn't name situations or people because I'm working to stay away from that. But some of the dynamics were rooted in my opinion, that's colorism. Like, and the strong personality I have doesn't work for everyone. I come into spaces, I'm automatically directing, okay? I've been directing people since I was a three-year-old kid, okay? I remember my brother telling me this funny story about, it's tragic and funny. So let me tell y'all real quick. So I have two brothers. I have three brothers. Two of my brothers is no longer with us. Rest in peace. And my one brother who passed away a few years ago, he was what is the name of people who like to play with fire?
Pyro.
Pyro. So yeah. My brother was a pyro, okay, as a kid. No matter what he was doing, if he found fire or a lighter, he's going to start playing with it. So as a result, he's burnt down three of our apartments. Like, it was bad, y'all. So this particular time, I'm 3 years old. My other brother is about eight. My oldest brother's about eight. My brother who liked to play with fire was probably about four or five or whatever. He's underneath the bed playing with a lighter and sets the bed on fire. And I'm sitting there watching TV. And all of a sudden, our house fills up with smoke, our apartment. And my oldest brother is like, drop down. We have to find the door because it happens so quick. Because, you know, you're a kid. So you're sitting literally on the bed just tuned into cartoons. And, you know, our cartoons, I was probably watching Mickey Mouse or something or Transformers. Oh, my God, I used to love Transformers. But anyway, and I just saw it. So hold on. Let me get back to my story. You see how my mind works. This is how I teach and how, you know, you just got to keep up with me because I would go left on you real quick. So anyway, as I was saying, my oldest brother says, come on, we have to go. The bed catches on fire, y'all. We crawl in and we find the front door. And then my brother says, when he's telling the story, he says that I open the door and then I run out to the hallway and I'm yelling. And mind you guys, I use a lot of profanity in my regular life. And guess what? I've been doing it since I was a baby. So at 3 years old, I'm running down the hallway and I'm like, everybody get the F out. You got to get out. The building's going to burn down and you're going to die. And I'm three, right? So I feel like I've been leading the charge ever since. And what I often say to people, the core of who we are is birthed in us and there's nothing that we can do about it, right? So I provide that context to say sometimes my strong, direct personality and my, I don't know what to call it. It's just who I am. Like, I show up in spaces leading. If I see something moving inefficiently, I'm the person to say, let's not do it that way. Let's do it this way, which is more efficient so that we can move things along. And sometimes that could feel like dismissal. It could feel like I'm not being considerate. And maybe sometimes I'm not. So let's just acknowledge that. So I feel like that's some of the dynamic where we had to let this contract go because I'm a person that's a doer. If you give me an assignment, we do. And which is also why Urban Triage is able to operate at the capacity that we do. I don't stop to, you know, have conversations about the same thing 20 times. And some people do. They want to meet about the meeting to meet about the meeting. And I'm not that person. So anyway, I was just saying that it's with sadness that we have to end this contract. The contract for our youth housing, rapid rehousing and transitional units will end effective December 31st. We don't know who that's going to go to. People who are placed under Urban Triage, we don't know who that's, you know, who the new organization will be, but we'll transfer all our files and then they will start hopefully on time to disperse funds to pay the rent of other folks who are placed under our rapid rehousing units. So just shout out for everybody in partnership. Again, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM. I'm just talking about Urban Triage and some of the transitions that are happening with us this season. But at the same time as we non-renew this particular contract, we are picking up additional contracts doing rapid rehousing and transitional units for youth, but specifically for youth who are fleeing domestic violence. So we're excited about that. And then we're working with Tiny Homes as well. That's a new contract that we picked up for rapid rehousing. So I think it's time for us just to let go and focus on our new contracts. And as you guys also may be aware, Urban Triage, pat my own back, has picked up another contract, a HUD contract, which is the Youth Homeless System Improvement Initiative. Urban Triage has been granted $2 million and to distribute, right? It's not all our money. And I know when you say $2 million, people are like, we don't need to donate to you. You got money. HUD money doesn't quite work like that. So the I wish it was $200 million. Ooh, Lord, we'd be doing some good things with $200 million. But $2 million will be distributed between four Black nonprofit core nonprofits and then about seven other nonprofits, all Black. And our initiative in collective is based in improving the coordinated entry system. And if you're not familiar with it, the coordinated entry system is the system used by HUD and required by HUD to enroll homeless folks in communities and families into HUD support services offered by agencies and government agencies and all this. I'm not going to get into it because it can get a little complicated if you're not familiar. But nevertheless, HUD said, hey, we need to improve this system for Black and LGBTQ vulnerable youth. And they put out an RFP. We applied for it. We got it. So that work will launch probably around January of 2025 as well. So we're excited all about the changes and stuff like that. there's a lot happening. And I have you guys to deal with some of the changes and the fluctuations of my own moods. Mood swings, because I don't know if you know, as you get older, I am aging and getting wiser with time. So there's some hormonal changes that been happening with me. I'm all over the place at times, but I have gotten a hold of some new supplements. And you would think that I was a salesperson, but I've been taking these supplements, y'all, for 3 days and they are cracking. Okay. I got them from Amazon by, Boise, like B-O-Y-S-E-A. That's the name of the brand. It's a combination pack and it's called Sea Moss and Shilajit Bundle and Shilante. I don't know, some kind of herb.
It's a foreign language almost.
Almost. Something. It's like S-H-I-L-A-J-I-T. And it's some type of herb. So it's a mixture of sea moss, shilajit or something like that, ashwagandha, rhodiola, whatever these things are, and ginseng. So all of these herbs are mixed in these capsules. And I've been taking it for 3 days. And y'all, I feel good. I feel energetic. And I'm like, I hope this doesn't cause depression. Because you know how sometimes you take a supplement and then the side effect is actually the opposite. So I'm hoping it continues to bring up my spirits and keep me grounded. But I'm excited, again, about the changes. Luke, what do you have going on in your world?
We got so much going on here at Civic Media between now and the election. My work is just nonstop going. So we've got a couple of special events that we're planning for. Yay. Right now. We'll have coverage of the U.S. Senate debate next Friday coming up on October 18th.
Like they're at the debate?
We're going to be taking their feed. So we won't be. I don't think there's a live audience or anything that.
Okay.
It's just going to be broadcast across several of our news talk stations here, including in Madison. So Senator Tammy Baldwin and Challenger Eric Hovde.
Well, that should be good.
It'll be interesting. So that will be good. Our news and political team will be doing live analysis following the debate. And that will be really important. And then we're going to be putting together a voter special as well. So everything that voters need to know on the evening of October 22nd, it's the first day of early voting, that Tuesday, a couple Tuesdays from now. So there's just so much going on between now and the election that my plate is full.
That sounds like a full plate. And Eric Hovde. So he's a Republican. And when I went to, I went to Appleton area, Door Creek area last week, and his signs and Trump signs were everywhere.
Really?
Everywhere.
I feel like I haven't been seeing, I haven't, not since Labor Day have I been like farther up north, so I haven't seen.
Oh my goodness. I drove past that line and I said, this is a sundown town. Brandy Grayson has to exit as soon as possible, but I was with one of my other white translators, Olivia. Olivia has been a volunteer with Urban Trash forever. She helps us write grants and just she's just my homegirl. I really appreciate Olivia. So she went with me to this conference and I sure was grateful because I often say when you go to Sun Downtown, you better have you a white translator with you, okay? Because you look a little bit less threatening. And it was funny. I was having a conversation with someone at the conference who's biracial. I won't give you her name because she told me I could tell her story, but I won't give you her name. But anyway, she has a white mother and she grew up in the Door Creek area, Fox Valley, I think, to be more specific, the Fox Valley area. And she grew up with her white mom and her white mom had, I have a point, y'all, just give me a second. Her mom had sex with the only black dude in the county, right? So at the time, and she got pregnant with her. And then they got into some type of situation and she called the police and had him deported because he was Jamaican. So the only black dude that was there was gone. Okay, he was out of there. So anyway, she shared with me some of her experience living there as a mixed biracial person and how she was always, you know, seen as, you know, she was always picked on or talked about the way she looked, her skin. And when she would go home, her mom would just tell her that, you know, sticks and stones will hurt your bones, but words would never hurt you or something, whatever that saying was. And she couldn't connect with what she needed or advocate for because she did not get it right from an experiential, I think, perspective. But then as she continued to grow up, everything that happened in her world, she would be seen as the bad guy. Like, so it would, you know, she got in trouble at school, she would get home and then her mom would reprimand her, right? But never having the opportunity to say this really wasn't about me. So that created some friction. And I had a conversation with her because back to what I'm often saying is like when you have a different background or experience, how you get to know each other and humanize one another is through conversation. So her and I had went to dinner and we talked about being raised as a black person by a white mom and the impact of that. So I want to share more of that with you guys because I've been talking about that since I've been doing the work of Urban Triage as we, you know, analyze systems and the complexities of race and dynamics and all of that. And sometimes I say things that pee people off. And there's some folks who are biracial that say they can't stand me because of some of the opinions I have as it relates to being biracial. So I want to talk a little bit more about that. That and some of the insight that she provided me with. It was eye-opening. And also like, dang, I assumed some of these things was true. But once you have someone in front of you, it becomes a whole different kind of understanding. So stay tuned so I can share some more with you about that. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. I'll be back in a gift. Hey, not Lil Wayne. Okay, Luke. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, WMDX. Your hostess with the most is Brandi Grayson. So prior to the break, we were talking a little bit about a friend of mine or associate of mine, someone who I've come to adore, who I'll actually be in partnership with. We were talking about having a white mom and the dynamics of growing up in an all-white community. And I had said to her, I often say that I often make statements like, hey, my statement is, and my understanding is there's a different dynamic when black women have children with white men or people outside of the black race and then a white woman having a child by black men or other people outside the race. And my understanding has always been is that it becomes more challenging for the white woman or mother to integrate the child into the culture of blackness and to help them navigate it because there's no experience experientially. And oftentimes the child is raised from the culture in which the mother is, right? And this is not just black and white, this is all people, right? And then that impacts the child's ability to navigate systems, right? So in my opinion, like when people say, what do you think about, because we always ask these questions, political questions. What do you think if your daughter have a child by a white man? What are your thoughts? Cool. I don't care. My grandchild going to be black because I know how black my child is, you know, culturally and traditionally in terms of understanding systems. And what do you think if your son has a baby by a white woman? I would not want that for that child because it becomes very complicated for that child. So I wouldn't, it's not like a sense of, I don't think people should have interracial relationships. I'm just pointing out the dynamic. So anyway, so when I had the conversation with a friend of mine, she absolutely was like, it's true. And then I have another friend, Whitney. She's actually an associate. She's not even my friend, but I feel like she's my friend because you know how you have a friend on social media and then it feels like they're your friend. But her name is Whitney. So big ups to Whitney. If you're watching, she's my friend on social media. She doesn't live in Madison anymore, but she's about, and for anyone that I offend, I don't care, but you know, I'm gonna say it anyway. She's about the blackest white woman I know. Okay. Like real talk. Like this lady is so funny, y'all. So And I say that because that's to me is almost like an exception to the rule. She has biracial children, but she navigates the space of blackness in a totally unheard of way. Like I can't even explain it. This woman is like phenomenal, and she's often making jokes about whiteness and how it shows up. Because she's gonna say, I can tell. She made a post the other day, girl. I almost fell out. She said, I can tell that you don't season your food when you don't understand what layering of moisturizer is on your body. And I fell out because that's such a black thing. And if you don't understand what I mean, like, for example, I get up in the morning, y'all. I put on multiple products. So I'm using shea butter all on my body, okay, because that's where you get this glow. Y'all see that skin, okay? Y'all see that glow and that chocolate. So I put the shea butter on, and then I put some lotion, and I use Vaseline, and I use lavender oil. So we're talking about 3 or 4 layers in.
Yeah, at least 3, if not 4.
And with the cologne, because she made a statement about layering fragrances. I do it all the time, y'all. So I thought that was hilarious. So I'm not saying that it can't be done. I'm just saying that it complicates things. And I think my conversation with a friend of mine kind of just validated that, but also gave a sense of a different perspective when you're talking to people who actually experience it. So again, just encouraging people to get outside of their norm and have uncomfortable conversations. I had to have an uncomfortable conversation the other day because my staff went to a church. I won't share the name of the church because I'm trying not to throw people under the bus, and some people might call it passive aggressive when I put names to it. But my staff goes to a church every Wednesday to provide outreach services and supports to homeless folks. And this last Wednesday, and we've been going for years, and we've had a great relationship with the other agencies there because it's kind of like a pop-up. Other agencies are there providing services. So last Wednesday, my staff go, and they get microaggressions everywhere. All like they get treated sideways by folks that we've been in partnership with. And then they hear them whispering things or having conversations like, I guess urban triage isn't as perfect as y'all thought they were. And what they're referring to, again, is that article that was written about us that basically tried to make it look like we mismanaged funds, right? So now they're looking at my staff sideways, like, you know, you're the black organization that's stealing money. And I don't know why people... I don't know. Just read the article, y'all. That's not, I mean, it's misrepresentative, but Urban Trash has not mismanaged funds. We never. We had a program that ran out of funds, and then we decided to use money from Roots and Wings, which is our unrestricted funding that we get to use how we fit, see fit, and we chose to use out of the $200,000 we get for housing services, $100,000 of that funds to support the other program so that we could offer an additional 6 weeks or 7 weeks of services for rental supports and security. Now, could you imagine if the article was framed that way? Like Urban Triage uses unrestricted funds to continue a contract they didn't have to, versus Urban Triage overspent the contract by $100,000, right? So now what I said that people have to understand, once something's in print and writing is law, and most people aren't reading past the title, right? They're reading the title and then that becomes law. So I was in the meeting yesterday, and I explained to some other folks, as I advocated for Urban Triage, that there was some documentation they wanted to put on record. I said, no, you're not, because that's not even true. And it's not substantiated, right? So we had to advocate, and they did remove it through a vote or whatever again. But my whole point, y'all, is that microaggressions happen all the time. And we have to really do our best to address people and concerns directly. Like, stop being two-faced. Don't tiptoe around my staff. Don't tiptoe around me. If you have a question, question, pick up the phone and ask it. You know what I mean? If you have a question regarding race dynamics or what happens in the Black culture or the white culture or the Asian culture, do some research, you know, get in community with folks so you're not making assumptions. It's just weird. And Madison is really weird. It's like the sunken place when people hear things and they just go with it. So now the conversation in our community is Brandy's in a bad place, Urban Triage in trouble. I just want to ensure you none of that is true. We are doing amazing. We have all these new projects rolling out. We also have another grant that we just that we're lead on that we got with the city of Madison. I don't think they've made it public, so I won't even name that grant, but we're super excited. Again, that's more community environmental justice work and education work, and education really is the foundation of what we do at Urban Triage. So I'm super excited about that. So just shout out again to folks who are making the effort to reach out, have conversations, and get clarity. Communication is really important as we navigate the changes in our world, in politics, in our families, in this season, y'all. So stay deliberate, stay intentional as we continue to do our best to center to the humanity of everyone, including ourselves. So anyway, I just want to thank you guys for tuning in to the Black Conversion Show, you guys, weekly. You guys really be showing out for us on Facebook Live and in the community, because everywhere I go, y'all be like, I heard you. So thank you guys for the support of the Black Conversion Show, and listen in again next week and tell Civic Media to give me more time. Okay, y'all, I'm still passive aggressive. There it goes. Brandy Grayson being passive aggressive. So again, stay tuned. Listen to us next week. You're tuned in to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, with your girl, Brandy Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. Peace, love, and hair grease.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.